Amen. Well, my name is Adam Reed, and I am not Travis Phillips. So you might be wondering where Trav is, but I actually have an update. The Indonesian team that we sent out was our training school from this past year. There's 15 students. Then we had three training school staff, and then the whole Phillips family. There's all six of them going. And so there's 24 people we sent to Indonesia. And I just want to give a quick update before we go into the time of preaching to give you an idea of what's going on over there. It is really cool. First of all, Indonesia is a country on the opposite end of the globe from where we are right now, almost literally. It's a 14-hour time difference, and it's in the future, if that's not weird, as it is. And over there, there is 5 million people in the city they're going to, which is Surabaya, but they're on an island called Java. And Java is the size of Tennessee and has 140 million people in it. So it's a very densely populated place. And Indonesia as a country is over 1,000 islands. And it is the most Muslim populated, 90% are Muslim. It's the most Muslim country in the world. And we have a handful of teams over there just loving people and sharing the gospel. And so we sent a team out basically through our training school to go just assist them and support them and love them. And so they had a 15-hour layover, our team did, in Jakarta. And so while they were there in the city of Jakarta, they were able to go out and pray and just do different kind of scouting out just the city and see what it looks like. And we were able to connect with a church that we actually know is there, and they were having a prayer meeting. And at the prayer meeting, our team was able to go in and just pray over all these people that had gathered. It was mostly women, they said, but they were able to pray over all of them. And already, the very first 15 hours that they were there, people already started getting physically, supernaturally healed. There's a couple severe back injuries that were making people where they couldn't walk and different things, and God was already touching them and already restoring them. So our team's faith is really high. Their first day, like right out of the gate, they're already operating in this place of great faith, great belief. So it's really exciting. They have made it all the way now to Surabaya, and they're just now kind of getting the lay of the land and adapting to the culture and the food and everything else that comes with a month-long stint. So I just want to say a quick prayer for them, and then we'll get rocking and rolling. Sound good? So just join with me. God, we thank you so much that you have a heart for the nations. God, that you long to redeem every tribe, tongue, and nation back to yourself. That's a promise from your word. And so, God, we want to be a part of what you're doing. We don't want to be on the sidelines. So I thank you, God, that even our small little church is already getting our hands out and touching the nations. And I thank you for this team. And I pray that you would fill them with faith, that they would move in power, but they would share the love of Jesus everywhere they go. So may they have testimony after testimony upon returning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we are in the middle of a series, and it's a spiritual disciplines series, and usually when people hear the word discipline, they cringe a little bit because it means pain and change and discomfort and things like that, which can be the case, but it's kind of like when you go to the gym, it's like the good kind of pain. I've never met someone who bodybuilds that like complains that their muscles hurt in a negative way. It's like they're proud of it. They're like, oh, this hurts, you know, and they're kind of like proud of the fact that they feel some sort of pain. Well, spiritual disciplines are the same way. They may cause some change and some discomfort, but they also have tons of fruit. And it's totally life-giving. And they themselves actually don't make you godlier, but they posture yourself into getting closer to Jesus. They posture you in a way that Jesus can make you more like himself. So they're worth practicing, because every time you practice a spiritual discipline, you put yourself in a teachable, humble position. When then God says, hey, I can use that. I want to get a part of that. I want to touch that. I want to get in that person's life more. We talked already about spending quality time with Jesus, like daily. We called it the secret place, was just the language we like to use. And so that was the first week, and then the second week we talked about prayer and what it looks like to be people of prayer, that we really go to God in prayer. And then today, I'm actually going to do the second part of that teaching, and it's how to hear God. And I love this topic. I think this is an exciting topic, because if this seems foreign to you, or it seems a little bit even arrogant, for me, that was my approach. When I first started hearing people say things like, well, I think God said this to me, I'm like, okay, who are you, and why is God talking to you and not me, and I think you're probably full of it. You know, I was really doubtful of people who would use that kind of language. But as I have gone in my personal adventure of running hard after Jesus, God is speaking, and he wants to speak to all of us individually. Not even like the proverbial you all, like God is speaking to us, but he individually wants to talk to each one of us intimately every day, all the day, all throughout the whole day. That's a reality. That God, like, did you know that? Did you know that God wants to speak to you? That God longs to get in your life and talk to you individually, and he has things that's on his heart. He has dreams and passions and desires, and sometimes correction and direction changes and different things, but which that's the area especially we get scared of, right? Like, oh, I don't want to hear God because he might tell me to do something I don't want to do, right? I mean, I've fought that, you know, and he's asked me to do things that stretch me. But I guarantee you, you will never regret hearing and obeying what God tells you to do. You'll never regret it. You'll never think, man, I wasted that. Why would I do that? But sometimes it just seems so difficult to hear God. Sometimes it just seems so hard. You're like, why is he a mystery to me? Why won't he write it on the wall? Right? Everybody wants the neon sign. You hear that all the time. But like, that's not the heart of God and how he wants to communicate. Because God is there's a personhood to God. Because we're made in his image, right? And I have a personality, and I have emotions, and I have responses, and I long for relationship. We get that makeup because God is that way. So God doesn't want us to just say, okay, God, I'm going to talk to you, so my prayer is going to be writing a billboard, and then you can read it sometime, and then maybe respond to it. But we pray, right? So we get alone, and we say, God, and we get on our knees or whatever feels appropriate. Sometimes it's in the car as we're driving to work or whatever, but God, I long to talk with you. I long to meet with you, right? And that's intimate, that's personal, right? The same way God wants to respond and speak back to us. If I was in my marriage, my wife, she does not want me talking. We've actually had this conversation this week. She does not want to talk to me through the television. She does not want to talk to me through my cell phone, right? She doesn't want me to talk to her as I'm running through the house going from one thing to the next, and I actually give her no time or attention. But she longs for me to sit down, to look at her in the face, and then have a conversation with her. Because that's what relationship and communication really looks like. The same way in prayer and in hearing God, we need to do the same thing. We need to learn to slow down and just say, okay, God, whatever you have to say, whatever you want to do, I'm open. But before I start getting into how God speaks, and there's a myriad of ways God speaks, I actually want to talk about the first two things is the two reasons why we have a hard time hearing God. So I'm going to address that problem first, and then I'll give you the ways that he speaks to us. And there's two reasons, and one I'm already getting to is this one. We simply do not slow down and give him space. We don't just breathe, stop, collect ourselves, say, God, okay, what are you doing? What do you have to say? What do you want to do? And that's the way that God, because again, he's relational. We see in 1 Kings 19, 11 and 12, it says this. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore through the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And that gentle whisper was the Lord. God wants to talk to you. He doesn't want to shout at you. He just wants you to sit down, give him space, and then he wants to talk to you. So part of the issue when people say, like, oh, I just don't hear God, is my first question is, when's the last time you stopped to listen? Truly listen. Like, literally. I don't think, some people think, oh, yeah, like, I'm talking literally sit down in a chair, no distractions, nothing on, no other people distracting you, and you say, God, if you're speaking, I'm listening. And then you just sit there. When's the last time we actually tried that? It's really challenging, but that's how God speaks. Because he doesn't yell, he whispers, he talks. You know, in Exodus 33:11, it says that Moses talked to God face to face, as if one talks to a friend. As if one talks to a friend. He wants to be, and I know there's really cheesy Christian songs on the radio about I'm a friend of God and all that stuff, but he really, really does want to be your friend. And he really does want to sit and talk face to face. And he doesn't want to yell, he just wants to tell you, do you know that I love you? When's the last time you sat and just let God tell you that? I love you. I'm proud of you. And you're thinking, what have I done, God? I've done nothing worth. It doesn't matter. I've made you, and I love what I made. When's the last time you just sat and let God speak those kind of things over you? So the first problem is we don't simply slow down. We simply don't give him space to speak. The second one is we don't take steps of faith and obedience to what he has spoken. See, the problem is if God says something and we don't do it, that voice gets a little bit quieter. It's a little harder to recognize. But the more you hear it and the more you get familiar with it, the easier it is to understand when it's the Lord or not. My example that I love to give on this is imagine you have a strained relationship with your father and you grow up and you never really knew your dad. But say you're in your mid-20s and all of a sudden your dad wants a relationship with you and you want one with him and you start hanging out together and he says, all right, son or daughter, let's go to the mall. And you're like, oh, okay, let's go to the mall. So you're out shopping, and all of a sudden, before you know it, it's the holiday Memorial weekend, and you get separated, and there's thousands of people, and you can't see him, but he can see you. And he's quite a ways away, and he's like, you know, son, daughter. Maybe he knows your name even. Adam, whatever. But your name's not Adam, whatever, fill in your name. You know, hey. And as God yells your name, or your father in the scenario, because you don't have a relationship established and the voice isn't familiar, it's really hard to hear and it's really not noticeable, right? But like I was raised with a wonderful father. He's actually here tonight somewhere. And he's a godly man and he was always present in my life. I grew up with him around. He loved me well. We talked all the time. Every day we still do. And I tell you, I could be in a mall and I could be on the opposite end of the mall and my dad would sneeze and I would know it was my father, right? Like I'm familiar with what my dad sounds like. But that's because I have a relationship where I talk face to face and I get familiar with what he sounds like. So that way, when you're living life and God speaks and it's not even a time when you're sitting down completely still and you're longing to hear him, you could be driving down the road and all of a sudden God says something and you know it's the Lord. You're like, whoa, God just told me to go right. I wasn't thinking of going right, but I feel like God's telling me to go right. And there's a place for you to have faith and take obedience and start to pursue the direction that God steers you in. If you do not obey when God speaks, it becomes harder and harder to be familiar with what he sounds like because you start to muddle it up with your sin. But as you say yes to God in obedience, you get really familiar and it gets really good. Hearing God will change your life. This teaching today and just getting familiar with hearing the Lord, it'll revolutionize the way you live. It did me. I mean, it blew my mind. Again, I was raised in a Christian home where the concept of God was familiar. I had known the Lord since early childhood. But I remember being in Boston. I was working as an architect at this time. And a guy named Jeff Bianchi was discipling me. And Jeff was awesome. He was always good about coming and visiting me and downtown, which is a headache to get downtown to have lunch with me every Wednesday. And I remember asking him questions about prayer, about hearing God. And his simple challenge was this: Adam, what I want you to do is I want you to spend time every day with the Lord. And it can be 5 or 10 minutes. It doesn't have to be long. But, you know, read a chunk of scripture, pray for a couple minutes, put on a worship song and worship God to it. And then he says, but when you're done, I want you to do this. I want you to sit on wherever you're sitting, in your car, edge of the bed, whatever. And he says, I want you to put your hands open like this. And then I want you to have the courage to say, God, if you have something to tell me, I'm listening. And I was like, why do you do this? He's like, oh, it just means that you're available. He's like, it has no supernatural power to it. It's just saying, God, I want you. God, I want you. And I'm willing to look like an idiot when no one's looking and put my hands like this. They, are you talking to me? You know? And I'm like, all right. So for 2 months, every day, I would spend time with Jesus in the morning and I would sit and I put my hands like this and I'd say, God, if you have something to say, I'm listening. And I would sit there. And I would sit there. And I would sit there and I heard nothing. Nothing. And I was so frustrated. I remember going and having lunch with Jeff that next Wednesday after 2 months. And I said, you're a liar. God doesn't talk. And he's like, what? And I'm like, I've been doing this for 2 months and nothing. I'm like, what are you? You're making this up. You make me look like a fool. I don't want to look like a fool. I'm a normal guy. Normal people don't do foolish stuff. And he's like, oh, no, 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 don't. And he was totally not shaken at all. Because he's more mature than I was. So he was like, oh, it's all right. Don't worry about it. I promise you, if you remain faithful to this, God's going to open your eyes to a whole new way of walking with him. I'm like, are you sure? Because I'm feeling like an idiot. And he's like, no, it's okay. And I'm like, okay. So not even 2 days later, I am on the bus. And I am like a sardine in a bus doing my commute to work. And if you know anything about city living and buses, I mean, you really are packed. Like they have like 60 people on a 40-person bus. And you're riding along. And clear as day, I'm not praying. I'm thinking about a project because I was an architect. I was thinking about a project I was working on. I remember very clearly. And as clearly as day, I got interrupted in my inner man. I don't know how to explain it because I thought it was audible, but no one else seemed to hear. I'm like looking around and everybody acts like nothing's going on. But I hear God talk to me out of nowhere. And he said, Adam. And it was weird because I was like talking back to him, like one talks to a friend. And I said, hey, what up, God? And he said, I got something for you. And I was like, okay. And I'm not even weird out that God's talking to me, other than the fact that I think everybody's listening. But I'm like, I'm just talking to God, no big deal. And he says, I want you to do something for me. And I'm like, what is it? And he says, there's a girl. And as soon as he said that, he didn't even say she has a red dress on or whatever. I knew exactly what girl she was talking about on the bus. There was a girl adjacent from me about two people over. And he said, there's that girl over there. He said, I want you to tell her that I love her, that I'm aware of the situation she's in, and that I have a plan and a purpose for her life. And I'm sitting there going, I love you, God, and I'm glad we're talking here, but weird people do that stuff, and I'm not weird, you know, and I ain't going to do that. And he's like, oh, hold on. You mean you've been trying to hear me for 2 months every day, and the moment I decide to talk to you, you're not going to obey me? He's like, why do you think it took me 2 months to talk? Because I've been trying to cultivate in you a desire to hear me enough to where you'd obey when I ask you. And I was like, oh, but Lord, that's so uncomfortable. Like, couldn't you ask me something, like, to find a big bag of money somewhere or something I would like to do, you know? And he was like, no, I want you to tell her those three things. And I was like, okay, God, what I'm going to do is I'll tell her, but I'm going to do it right when I can tell she's about to get off or I'm about to get off. So then I can, like, hit it and then step out and she's out and then I'm okay. And he's like, no. I want you to tell her right now. And then I said, God, I don't think I can do it. And as soon as, now, I'm not saying this happens to everybody. I know this is an abnormal situation. But my stomach muscles cramped up so bad that I literally was forced down on my knee. Like my stomach, and I've never had it happen before again, ever in my life. And I was like down on one knee. And I'm like, oh my goodness, Lord, okay, I'll obey. And as soon as I said that, he released it. But before I got up, I looked up, and this girl had moved, and she is right in front of me, sitting down, and her face is like 6 inches from my face. And I look up at her, and she goes, can I help you? And I was like, sure, and then I went on for like 5 minutes. I'm not weird, I'm normal. I do believe in God, but, you know, a large population of the world believes in God, so that's not that weird. And I was praying, and I felt like God told me to tell you that he loves you, that he's aware of the situation you're in, and he has a plan and a purpose for your life. And she was like, okay, thanks. And it was awkward. And I was like, you're welcome. You know, and I stood back up, I grabbed the bar, and I was like, okay, I did it. Now leave me alone. Why are you doing that? You know? And it was so sweet. Is honestly, I remember the Lord saying, I'm so proud of you. Even though I was not even obeying well, I just remember saying, I'm so proud of you. And I was like, thank you. I don't really deserve that, but thank you. You know? And I just remember him loving me and my journey of learning how to hear and obey God. And so she ends up moving a couple seats. I keep moving a couple seats because we're moving on this long bus ride. And eventually I find myself sitting down and she's over to my left and I look over and this girl is just sobbing. I mean, like snot cake sobbing. And I'm like, oh man, that's my fault. Like, I know that's my fault. So then I lean over and I just said, you know, miss, I'm really sorry. I wasn't trying to make you cry. Like, you know, is there anything I pray for you about? And she said, no, I'm fine. I'm like, oh, okay. So I just kind of lean back over and I'm like, man, Lord, just bless her. And I just start praying for her. Help her, Lord, whatever situation, you know what it is. Will you help her, Lord? And about 5 minutes later, I feel a tap on my shoulder. And I look over and it's this lady and she goes, I thought of something. And at that point, I'd forgotten what she was talking about. So I said, excuse me? And she goes, I thought of something for you to pray for me about. And I was, okay, good. You know, like the tide's turning. This is good. Okay. You know, well, what's your name? She goes, my name's Missy. And I said, well, my name's Adam. How can I pray for you? And she goes, well, I just found out this week that I'm pregnant. And she says, but the problem is two things. The first thing is, this guy's like a boyfriend that is like a casual dating. I don't even think I want to marry the guy. And it was just more of a one-night stand kind of thing. And she goes, and on top of it, she goes, I have this generational thing in our family where a lot of the babies we have are rather born through, like, end up having miscarriage, or they're born with some, like, genetic disorder or something. She's like, and it's a generational thing. I'm really concerned about the health of my baby. I said, oh, Missy, I'm so sorry. And I said, well, can I pray for you? And she said, no. I said, well, she goes, no, you can pray for me, but just not with me right here. And I was like, okay, well, Missy, I'll be praying for you. And she goes, well, why you do that? I have a doctor's appointment in about 3 weeks to find out the issue with the baby. So just pray for that. And I said, absolutely. Well, she gets off the bus, I get off the bus, and I don't see her for 3 months. Life goes on, totally forgot about the whole Missy exchange thing, and I'm just living life. And my face is in a book one day on the bus on the way home. And I'm reading, and all of a sudden, clears day, I hear, Adam. And you know it's good news when someone's calling your name and they remember your name. You're like, hey, I'm not that weird guy anymore. Like, she likes me, kind of, you know? And so I say, oh, hey, Missy. And she comes run up, and she, like, scoots over in the seat all nice and close to me. And she goes, I have so much to tell you. And I said, well, what, you know? And she goes, I went to the doctor, and my baby is totally healthy. And I said, praise God, Missy. And she goes, yeah, I'm so excited. She goes, it gets better. I said, what? She goes, I'm going to marry my boyfriend, and we're going to raise this kid with a father and a mother. I said, Missy, that's so good. I'm so proud of you. That is a good choice. She goes, it gets better. I said, what? She goes, me and my boyfriend, after I met you, the next Sunday, we went to a Christian church on the corner, and we decided to give our lives to God, and we're going to raise our kid in a Christian home. I said, Missy, I said, this doesn't get any better. I said, you've got to be kidding me. And she's just living on cloud nine. We end up hugging before she left. I didn't know this girl. I'm like hugging her, and she's like hugging me. It was awesome. I was like, God, thank you that you chose to speak to me, and thank you that you put up with a bit of disobedience to let me be a mouthpiece of God. I'm so glad I got to participate in that. That story, I love that story, but that should be our everyday. That story is made for the everyday of the Christian life. That isn't just one triumph story. And it is an exciting story. We want to see lives transformed. But for us to do that, we need to hear God and we need to obey God. And we need to practice the discipline of doing those things. And so sometimes I feel like people are like, well, how do I know when it's God? And there's so many, like, you know, some people say this, some people say that. Well, I want you to think of it like a dialect. You know, all of us in this room, I'm assuming if you're hearing me, speak English. We all probably have a very different dialect based on what part of the country we were raised in or whatever, or what part of the world we initially were raised in. God can speak your dialect. Not only can he speak it, but he wants to. God is not a mystery to where he is trying to make it complicated for you to hear him. He's not trying to be distant, so when you speak, you feel like you're hitting nothing and you're trying to hear in return to nothing. God wants to speak your language and he wants to get in your world, but we need to slow down and give him space to speak. So I'm gonna step now into more of a practical way, and I'm gonna go through just a couple things we see in scripture of how different ways God speaks. This is not all-inclusive. I know God also spoke through a donkey, and I know that there was angelic visitations and God spoke through angels. I'm not gonna hit on some of those things, but I'm gonna hit on some practical things where we see God speak to man and how they know in God's speaking and then we should respond with obedience. Does that make sense? All right, here we go. The first way that we know that God speaks is through his word. It's through scripture. God has already spoken. If scripture answers a question you have, you don't need to ask God for the answer again. If some people are like, you know, well, do I go to a church and stuff? You know, Paul writes, do not stop meeting as those foolish people do, but get together, meet together. So you don't have to sit there and be like, I don't know if I'm supposed to go to a community or to a church. It doesn't have to be Antioch. But God wants Christian people to get together and love each other and support each other through the journey of life. That is a biblical principle that the word has already spoken on. So if you want to know what God's speaking, first go to his word. His word is already spoken. We see 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correction, and training in righteousness. We also see Psalm 119:105 says this, your word, the Bible, is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. If you want to know direction and decisions in life and how to hear God in it, it first needs to line up with the word of God because he's already spoken and he continually speaks through it. I mean, when Shelly and I were in the journey of trying to pray about planting this church and we were living in Boston, I mean, there's a whole lot of insecurities and like, are we hearing God? Are we crazy? Like, you know, we're still human beings. We were like, how do we know? And one of the major ways that God spoke it to us was through his word. Isaiah 35 and 43 and a bunch of different chapters in Isaiah, confirmed other words we felt like God was speaking to us about fertile soil, about streams of living water in the desert. God was using all this kind of language about how there's a desert and how God wants to bring life to it. We actually thought it was a spiritual desert. We didn't realize meant like a literal, you're moving to the desert. And so we're like, oh, okay, all right, thanks, God. But man, it was confirmation in us when we took steps of faith. Like, hey, God is speaking for us through his word. He's giving us confirmation in our spirit to move forward. So that's the first one, through his word. Number two, through the inner, still, small voice of the Holy Spirit. We know this as conviction or peace, right? Have you ever felt God's conviction? It's a good thing. A lot of us don't like conviction because it's like you're not supposed to do something or think something or feel something or whatever. It's like putting a stop to something. But I'll tell you, I pray every day, God, may your conviction rest on my heart. Because what that is that's the Holy Spirit guiding me. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to me, saying, don't do this. Or it's peace. If I feel strong peace towards something, when I pray into something, I'm like, man, I just feel so good about this. That's the Lord giving me peace towards moving forward in that direction. Does that make sense? So God uses conviction and peace as a tool for the Holy Spirit moving in our heart for us to be able to use him as a gauge. Now, I'm gonna get to this later, but a lot of these things work together. So if you feel really excited about something, you may not be hearing the Lord. Not to bum you out. Or if you feel conviction about something or not excited about something, maybe is another way to say it, it still could be the Lord. But this is one of multiple ways in which God speaks as a gauge to know, am I hearing God? My heart comes alive when I think about moving to Arizona. Something about streams of living water in the desert. I just got a prophetic word, and then when I prayed about it, my heart's coming alive, and I don't have any like resistance or red flags or conviction. I mean, I actually come alive thinking about it. That's the Holy Spirit stirring you to have faith towards obedience, towards the yes of what he's telling you to do. We see this in Acts 16, 6 through 7. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of, Phrygia, Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When he came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So Paul's going on, and he's doing his mission. He's starting all these churches all over the world. And as he's going, all of a sudden he's heading towards a city, and the Spirit convicts him and says, do not go there. It was an internal thing. It was in his inner man, but he's like, I don't feel good. The Spirit of God's telling me that is not where I'm supposed to go. And so Paul turns and he goes another way according to how he had peace in his heart as he's walking with the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? So that's just a biblical example of when that happens. The next one is through advice and counsel of men and women of God. This is a huge one because I take spiritual authority really serious. You submitting your decision-making process to godly people and to authority that's in your life, rather your discipleship person, a godly influencer, mentor, or pastor, or whoever, life group members, whatever your situation is that you're in, that is your safeguard. Authority in your life and godly community in your life is not restriction. It's protection. It is God protecting you. So for you to want to rebel against what your godly community is telling you to do or not to do is a red flag to say, I might be making the wrong choice. Now, we all get it wrong, but usually as a whole, we are able to hear God together, usually, Lord willing, right? But if you were saying, I'm going to do this, and like six authority figures that love Jesus and love you are saying, I think that's a bad choice, you might want to listen to him and say, you know what, I think it's a bad choice. In Proverbs 12:15, it says this, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. And then Proverbs 15:22 says this, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. So do not resist bringing other people into your decision-making process, specifically people that love God and hear God with you, that are willing to pray and wait on the Lord with you and believe with you and help you with scripture, seeing if your decisions are lining up with truth. Like, invite those people, don't resist them. The next one is through the audible voice of God. Now, I don't know if my situation on the bus was audible or not. It sure did feel like it. I mean, it was crystal clear to me that I was talking to God. But maybe it wasn't, I don't know. But I know that God speaks audibly. We see in Acts 9, 4 through 5, it says, he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. This is when Saul has his conversion to being Paul. And God spoke audibly to him. And I have friends that I know who've heard the audible voice of God through random circumstances where God, they needed to hear the Lord and God spoke and they heard him. There's a documentary we watch in the training school that's of modern day today, and there's a guy that's a missionary in India. He's an Indian man, but he's a missionary to his own country. But he literally wakes up every morning to the audible voice of God. That's his alarm clock. He says, wake up. And he wakes up and he says, today I want you. And he speaks to God like a man speaks to his friend. And God tells him what his duties are for today as far as his mission. As far as, I want you to go to this village. They need some people to go there and pray for different issues. Or I want you to go over and preach the gospel over here. And he just hears the audible voice of God. I think that is, he's a lucky dog. I would love to have that kind of relationship. And so I am asking for it. I might be in the 2-month period that's elongated where I haven't had that happen yet, but I'm believing for it. Where God just wakes me up in the morning audibly. The next way that we know that God speaks is through dreams. Matthew 1, 20 and 21 says this, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So this was a dream that Joseph was having in the night. This is more common than you would realize. I personally have had multiple prophetic dreams where God has spoken to me through dreams. My wife actually gets it more common than even than I do. But this is, if you ask for it, be ready to receive it. I feel like God just, he speaks a lot through dreams. A testimony this week of a dream is Josue Ramirez is on our staff and he's a co-leader with the Indonesia team right now. And he just emailed me yesterday of a testimony, just really excited. He said, so we're in Indonesia, we're finally in Surabaya, And we got up yesterday morning and we said, okay, God, what do you want to do? And they're waiting on God. So they're waiting to hear God. So they stop, they give God space, and they're waiting on God as a team, and they're praying. And Josue feels like God gives him the idea of going to a local hospital. He says, go to a hospital and pray for people. And Josue's like, I think that's the Lord. So he submits it to everybody else in the room. I feel like God's saying go to the hospital. A lot of people say, yeah, I feel like that's a great choice too. Okay, so the whole team goes to this local hospital. When they get to the local hospital, Josue walks up and he doesn't know what to say. And the guy's like, who are you? And he's like, I'm a physician assistant, is what I think he said. It's like that. It's so funny. And he's like, I'm a physician's assistant, but with God. And he's like, what? And he's like, who do you work for? And he's like, I work for the best physician in the world. And he's like, what? And so the guy just takes him, and Josue calls him Mr. R. And so Mr. R is like, let's step outside. So they step outside, and he's like, what are you talking about? And so Josue just shares the whole gospel and just tells the guy, and this guy's getting really moved. Well, while Josue is talking with him, God speaks to Josue, which we'll get to this other way, through like a prophetic word, but he has this idea come to mind immediately that this guy's had prophetic dreams, that God has come to him in dreams. So Josue's like, by any chance, have you had any dreams of like a man in white kind of glowing or something? And he was just like totally freaked out. Mr. R was like, what? Yeah, I've numerous dreams. I don't even count how many. He's like, he was a man in a white robe and his face looked like light. It was just glowing. And he's like, and Josue's like, well, that was the Lord. That was Jesus. And he is pursuing you. And he sent me all the way across the world to tell you that he loves you and he wants a relationship with you. And he's like, whoa, just totally blown. He's like, can we meet tomorrow? He's like, sure. So the next day, which was yesterday, Josue and Josiah, who's typically our bass player, they went and they had lunch with this guy. And this guy's sitting there, and Josue brings up the dreams again. He starts explaining how God wants a relationship with him. And this man just moved to tears, gladly accepts Jesus as Lord. Right there on the spot. So that's yesterday. And that is God using a dream to stir people's hearts for obedience and to move with God. And so from my experience, when I've had prophetic dreams, they were obviously different. So if you're kind of wondering the details, like they just feel different. There's a weight to them. There's a significance to them. Usually it's really clear what God is speaking. Sometimes it's not, but like you just can tell. So if you're thinking, I don't know if I've ever had a prophetic dream or not, then maybe you probably haven't, but there's nothing wrong with saying, God, will you give them to me? And God, will you give me discernment to know what it is? And also, if you get them, submit them to friends in the community and say, hey, I had this dream. What do you think it means? Was it from God or not? And just submit it humbly, you know, and see if God speaks. But we've definitely had some significant encounters with the Lord through dreams where we've had dreams where we've saw a scenario. Like me personally and my wife has had one like this. And then later on, we've actually seen the exact situation unfold. Exactly. Like we were like deja vu in the moment. And it was a dream that we had had. And we already knew how to respond because we had the dream and we felt like God said, pray about this situation going to happen. We prayed about it. And then when we were in it, we were prepared. So God longs to speak through dreams. The next one is through visions, pictures, and words. We see this in Acts 10, 9 through 18. And this is where Peter gets a dream and it's a vision. He's awake and he's on a rooftop praying and God opens the heavens and he sees this big sheet come down and on it is all these animals and God's telling him basically it's okay to eat meat. That's basically, and he's like, no, God, I'm clean and I don't eat anything unclean. And God says, no. He's like, don't say what is unclean. What I say is clean. It's okay to eat meat. And so, because they were preparing a meal and he was conflicted about eating meat. Because in the Jewish law, you're not supposed to eat meat. And so God speaks to him through this open vision. Like he is awake, he's not asleep, and he like sees this unfold before his eyes. So that's a vision. Another one is a picture. And I think this is a way that God speaks a lot to me, and I find it when I'm praying for people. Like I'll be praying for someone, and I'll just have this image in my mind. And it's so noticeable. I'm like, why? Okay, and I'm making this one up, but like I keep seeing a sailboat, and I see someone throw an anchor over the side, and hits the ground. Like, it's just like this picture of like a sailboat throwing an anchor. Does that mean anything to you? And so many times they're like, oh my gosh, God's been speaking to me through sailboats. or whatever, I don't know. But like, there always seems to be a confirmation usually when it's from the Lord. And again, when giving something that you think God speaks, you submit it. Humility is key. Do not be like, God spoke and you need to, whatever. That's arrogant and that's dangerous. And you say, I saw this picture, I wanna submit this to you. Like, maybe it's God, maybe I'm losing my mind, but God created your imagination. Sometimes I feel like we feel like if it comes in our brain, then it's us, and therefore not God. But if he can create you out of a word spoken, He can help shape your imagination to see pictures and hear him and think like he does. That's part of the renewing your mind process that Scripture talks about. When your mind is renewed, you start to think like God even. And so don't dismiss it just because it comes to your mind. There was a time I was praying for somebody and I was really trying to focus in and I was like, Lord, I really want to hear you. And this person kept coming to mind. And I was like, oh, sorry, God. I'm getting so scatterbrained and I'm not able to focus. I'm focusing in. And then all of a sudden that person came to mind again. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm so bad at this. I'm so sorry. I'm trying to forget this person and I want to really focus. And then God was like, idiot, I want you to pray for this person. And I was like, oh, right. Thank you, Lord. So then I began to intercede and pray for that person that came to mind. So that was also confirmation, which helps. God bringing it up again. No, I really want you to press in. So that helps me. Okay, God, I think I'm hearing you. I'm going to pray for this person. And so those are visions and those are pictures. And then words are rather sometimes like, I don't know if you've ever had this experience. I've definitely had this experience. It's awesome. When like scripture will come out of my mouth, like a prophetic word. Like I feel like we need to say, you know, Psalm 27 verses 2, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I've never memorized Psalm 27 verse 2. Like the Lord gave me that word. He spoke it to me and he gave it to me in the moment. And that's just so cool. Or you're praying for somebody, you're praying and you, God says, overcome. And you know that you're in a discouraging season and this word keeps coming to your mind, overcome. And you're like, God, are you saying that you're gonna help me overcome this season? And God's like, yes, you're gonna be an overcomer. And you allow God to speak to you through a word that builds your faith. So that's another way that God longs to speak. And the last thing that I have here is through nature and creation. Romans 1:20 says this, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. So nature alone gives praises and screams out God saying, look how awesome I am. I remember, I was talking with someone this morning or this evening, but I remember going to the Grand Canyon, looking at it, I'm like, how is there not a God? Like, this is ridiculous that people think this is by chance the most beautiful thing in the world. There's a man named Francis Collins. I've read his book. He is a geneticist, and he is a believer who came. He was raised by two parents that both went to Yale, very intellectually, very successful family, super smart, kind of hippie, and he went to Yale himself. Was raised just believing there is no God. And it wasn't just there is no God, that's not fair to say. It's a common theme with the atheist words, there is no God and I hate him. And you're like, why do you hate something that doesn't exist? Like, why such aggression, you know? But they were opposing God, not just like, I don't want to believe in him, but like they were aggressively against God. And then when he was assigned to lead the team that wrote the DNA code, the human genome code, which we use now for like pregnancy stuff and all kinds of disease stuff. It's amazing what his team was able to do for the advancement of medicine. And while he was leading that team and they were looking at cells and the way that molecules come together and studying the human body, he said what he had is a conversion experience. And he came to believe in God. And while he said, oh my, there has to be a God. Like, and he's the leading scientist in the world for this. So if anybody can like, oh, science explains it all, he was the one who said, no, it doesn't. It just tells me that there's a God who's in control. And so through that, he came to believe in Jesus. And now he speaks all over the place on how science does not have to conflict with faith and that they can be merged together. It's really powerful. And then William Wilberforce, I was told that came to Christ. He's the guy that did the abolitionist against slave trade in England. There's a movie called Amazing Grace about him. Just a really godly man that hated slavery and fought for freedom. But he came to know Jesus because he was sitting in a field looking at a tree. Just looking at a tree. And he was just in awe of it, thinking how beautiful it was, and said, there must be a God for that tree to exist. There must be a God. And that's how his spiritual faith began. So God can use nature to speak to us. The last thing I'll say, too, is sometimes God uses circumstances, but I want to do like a warning on circumstances. There are times that God will totally open doors in circumstances, right? Where it seems like there's no way, and then a door opens up, and you're like, oh, there's the way. That must be the Lord, right? There is times that is absolutely God. But just because a door opens does not mean it's God. Because there are times when God says, hey, I've opened a door for you. And then there's also times when God says, I want you to have faith to kick that door down when there's a door that's closed. And so you can't base everything off circumstances to say, I'm just, because that means you're just kind of wandering through the path that life gives you versus walking by faith with God. Does that make sense? So circumstances are okay, But what you want to do is when circumstances arise, you weigh them with all these other things, how God speaks. You add it in, not that alone. And you let God speak. So I'm going to move now to something very practical. I want to give you a tool that says, how do I apply this? Like, how do I actually apply hearing God and obeying? Like, how do I make decisions or move forward or take steps of faith? And this is the picture I have for you. I want you to look at a compass. And on this compass, I want your north to be Scripture. This is your compass to making godly choices and to hearing God and obeying. And so when you have a real compass, you set your real compass. Like if I had one in this room, I would set it due north, which I believe is that way. And so I would set it due north, and then I would move the compass's dials to figure out which direction I need to go and how far to go, right? So your due north needs to be fixed on Scripture. If anything you think you're hearing from God does not line up with the Word of God, it is not the Lord. Plain and simple. But then you have other things to help weigh into it. Because what if you're asking God about something that's biblical? It's just you don't know if it's the Lord. Like, do I do this or do I not do this? Both, it's not a bad thing. You know, there's a lot of good things that you're trying to decide about. How do I hear God and moving forward? Well, your next one, your south, is the prophetic word of God. This would be your dreams, your pictures, your prophetic words, your visions, your all these other things I just described, all these different ways that God could speak to you. And you weigh them. Okay, I feel like God gave me, I had this word that someone shared with me when they were praying over me, and it felt like it was confirmation about doing this thing. And you weigh these things in with your decision with Scripture. So these are both in at the same time. Then your east is godly community. This is your discipleship person. This is your godly friends that you love and respect and you know will speak truth to you, even if you don't want to hear it. You don't want to have someone speak life into you that only says what you want to hear. Okay? You want someone who's willing to tell you the hard stuff because they love you enough. And so godly community is your east, and then your west is your heart and your mind. And what I mean by heart and your mind is God gave you a brain, and he did not give it to you so you would turn it off when you want to hear him. It is okay to use your brain while hearing God. They don't have to conflict. So you can think logically about your decision-making process. You can say, well, this looks to make more sense. Or, and then your heart is what I would say, what makes you come alive. For me, when God speaks things, a lot of times, if I get really passionate about it, that to me gives me the faith to begin to investigate if it's God. Like when I thought about church planting, personally, I got really excited about it. I didn't know why I got excited about it, but all of a sudden the idea of church planting and starting a church got really exciting for me. That was long before I ever had Scripture back it up, or godly community helped me, and I went through the process of coming out here to plant this church. But my heart started to come alive, and I was like, God, is this you making my heart come alive? And it was thrown in the mix of this compass for me to help have the faith to say, okay, God, I'm gonna go plant this church. I'm gonna step out in faith. So I want you guys to practice in your decision-making processes of learning how to hear God and how to step out in faith and obey him and moving forward in the everyday. The worst thing that would happen to me is if I came here next year and we're all in here in this room and you guys look exactly the same, doing the exact same thing with no change at all because you're too afraid to move forward. God does not want himself to be a mystery to where you never move forward. And so if you weigh it with Scripture and you weigh it with the things that God's speaking, you weigh it with community and you weigh it with what's in your heart and your mind, and they're all pointing to a move forward, pull the trigger. Take steps of faith. Don't be afraid. God, if your desire is to obey God, he is gonna be for you even if you made the wrong choice because he's that good. He is so for you that he would rather you move forward and fall forward on your face than to be standing still for the rest of your life. So I wanna encourage us to be people that really give God space to speak into our lives. And I really long for us to be a people that have the courage and the faith to obey when he does. God longs to speak to you. He knows your language. He knows your dialect. He knows what's on your heart, what's on your mind, and he cares. That same thing I said to that girl on the bus is the same thing he's saying to every one of us today. I love you more than you could ever know. I know what situations you find yourself in today in life. And I have a plan and a purpose for you. Will you let me speak into it? Will you slow down long enough and really allow me to have space to speak into your life? And then would you take a step of faith with me and obey it so that I can pour my blessings into your life? The God we serve is good, and he is loving. He will not steer you off a cliff. He might steer you sometimes in directions that you don't see all the steps moving forward, and so it's scary. Wow, that's hard. I don't see where this is leading me. I thought he said this, but he's having me go this way. What's going on, God? But I guarantee you, his way is the direct way. Our thinking is the wrong way if it seems in opposition. We need to trust the Lord. So will you stand with me? And we're gonna just have a time of response. And my questions are simple. Do you allow God to speak to you? Do you allow God's space to speak to you? And then, do you obey what he says? So my first challenge, before we move into, okay, God, speak to me, which I want to give us, we're going to give space this now. But if you know God's already told you something and you have not obeyed it, I want you to go there with God now. God, I'm sorry for disobedience. I'm sorry, God, that I'm not operating in faith and trusting you and saying yes. Go there with God now in that place. God, will you give me the courage to move forward in that? Because God wants you to operate in obedience. And so go there. And then if you can't think of something like that, and that's great, it's fine, then say, God, if you have something to say, I'm listening. Will you speak to me? And sometimes some people have all different experiences in the room. Let's not compare and judge one another, because if we did, I would lose. Mine took 2 months. So some people might hear the Lord right off the bat, and that's awesome. But I guarantee you it is worth every ounce of time, worth every ounce of energy, worth every ounce of your being to wait on the Lord, to give him space to speak into your life. So let's practice this discipline so that we can be men and women of God that hear God and obey him and see our lives and everyone we influence transformed through the power of God moving through us as obedient vessels. So Lord, we just pray that now, that we long to be yours. We long to be obedient vessels that's transformed by your words. Will you speak our language? Whether it's a myriad of dreams or visions or words or your scripture jumping off the page as we read it. It's during a worship song or we're singing something and we just find our spirit coming alive with what we're singing. And we're like, oh, I feel like God's speaking to me through this song. Any way that you want to talk, God, we want to be listeners, but we don't want to just listen. We want to be doers. God, I release courage right now. I release faith right now that we would be people that step out and we say yes to whatever you bring our way. May you move in our lives in a way we've never seen before. Transform the way, the small box of what it looks like to walk with you. May you blow it up and to make it something totally new. We love you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. They're just gonna lead us in a worship song. And I just invite you, if you wanna come forward and if you wanna pray by yourself, you can. If you want prayer, we have people that would love to pray with you. So a couple of our leaders, if you guys wanna come forward. But we want to get in your boat, and we want to hear God with you, and we want to hear God for you, and we want to release just an opening of your ears for you to hear God in a new way.